Hey guys, it's Justin Hill here. Strap on your high heels and put on your pads because we're going drag racing. Ah, crap. She's bottomed out, guys. Play the music. Welcome to Stan Original RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, the podcast. And just like the Spice Girls, we've seen one of our girl group members leave the band to pursue other projects, i.e. they're eliminated from the show. Today, I'm catching up with the one and only Ashley Madison to chat about winning Snatch Game, being a boss babe drag queen, and more. Plus, I'm joined by one of her fellow drag queens, Tommy, to unpack the episode. They spill some tea on Ashley and we discuss where the show goes from here. Well, if it isn't the most talked about drag queen on this podcast and also our eliminated queen this week, it is Ashley Madison. Man, you got a lot of airtime on this podcast so far.
I did, and I've been listening to every episode and I've loved every second of it.
People got a lot to say about you, don't they?
They do, but you know, I'd rather be spoken about than not spoken about at all, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like it's probably like very indicative of your drag race journey is that, you know, you arrived on the scene, we had a little giggle at your name for those of us that get it, like it just, you know, and it was just very clear that you were going to be one of the people that we remembered from this season. And also too, the fact that you won Snatch Game, I mean, it must give you like cold shivers to think about that, because you go in a lineup of, you know, very few queens that have nailed probably one of the hardest things in the entire competition, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Snatch Game is so difficult because it's improv and it's comedy and it's impersonation. And so you've got all of these different aspects and there's not a lot of like opportunities outside the show to put all of those things together and do all in that moment. So to somehow succeed in that was amazing. And then they didn't really, you don't really see it, but as soon as I walked backstage, I can't remember, I think I was standing next to Gabriella and Bumper and I just grabbed their hands and I was like almost crying because I was like, this is it. This is the moment. I've won something.
And also too, we were talking about this last week in the podcast where I was saying, I feel like there's definitely like a format to Snatch Game and I find it, and as no expert at all, but I find it strange that some girls don't understand the format or don't have a grasp of it, but you absolutely did. You were like jokes, character, and preparation first, and then the look afterwards was like great, hilarious, the glitter beard, very funny. Is that kind of how you went into like approaching the challenge, knowing it was coming up?
Absolutely. I spoke about this with Rue on the stage and I told her that I was like, I kind of deconstructed Snatch Game because I have a spreadsheet that I put together of all previous winners of Snatch Game, what characters they did, whether or not Rue knew who that person was, three of their funniest jokes, and like what was their thing that made them funny.
And right.
Like, okay, how can I pull together all of these different elements? Where and I realized that every single person that had won Snatch Game had chosen a character that Rue knew who it was. And I'm like, okay, so first out of the gate, I need to do that. Second out of the gate, they need to have a thing. They need to be dumb. They need to be old. They need to be gay. They need to be drunk. It's got to be something that you can pull on each time to make those jokes. And then you've got to just have jokes sitting there ready to go and find where they fit.
That's what I was saying. You kind of, because it essentially is an improv challenge. It's not a lookalike challenge because that's all very well and good, but it is improv. You've got to do yes and then you've got to throw in your joke somewhere, which is so crazy. So we start off the episode and we see Isis and Gab and Floor sort of getting into it, which was kind of very foreboding that there's maybe trouble on the high seas on Drag Race. Was it a bit of a handbrake moment to, because looking at it from a viewer's perspective, I was like, oh, like Gab is like being a bit sassy to Floor. And then all of a sudden Floor was quite offended. And I wonder if sometimes some of the queens don't pick up on that very down under way of kind of like, you know, shading each other. Do you think it was a case of that? Or do you think it was like sort of some sensitivity going on?
It's interesting because Floor has remained like throughout the season. She's kind of shown that there's something behind there. There's some like opinions there. There's a feeling there that like she doesn't quite want to get out. Like in the last episode, in episode 4, I think we saw like me saying that I think Bumper was going to be in the top with us, and then Floor was like, oh. And I was like, have you got something to say? Like, and she's like,
yeah,
no. And I'm like, okay. And so that kind of kept happening. And so I think that, like, the thing that I know is that Gabriella is one of the kindest and sweetest people I've ever met in my life. So I know that Gabriella is never walking into any situation trying to hurt anybody's feelings or anything. She walks into every situation with the best intention. So it might just be one of those situations where there's just been, like, a crossed line, maybe, or, like, not necessarily, yeah, like, what am I saying, like, a wires crossed or something.
Okay. And also, too, I don't know if this has ever happened in the history of Drag Race ever, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you were wearing the same shirt as RuPaul. What the hell?
Well, look, I'm going to say, I think that when Ru walked in and she saw me in that matching outfit, she's like, I'm sending this bitch home this episode. That's what I reckon. I reckon she saw it and she goes, the audacity to do this. And I blew my mind, because it's not like, oh, we were both wearing black or we're both wearing leopard print.
It was the exact shirt.
It was a yellow shirt with black prints on it with, like, this bluey green spot in the middle. I was like, the chances of us having this exact shirt, crazy.
Wild. It's like you should have walked in with, what was it, the one of the Klein and Epstein suits.
If what I've learned throughout Drag Race is, it's RuPaul's Drag Race. So if you get her on your side, bitch, next if I get an honor All Stars, I'm wearing suits the whole time round.
I feel like Ashley Madison is using science to win Drag Race, definitely, with your spreadsheets and your,
like, well, I'm known for my spreadsheets. I've got everything's listed. Like, even with my books, when I was planning my runways, I was like, here they are all listed. How do they look together? You know, what are the silhouettes? I was trying to math everything out.
Now we get into the reading challenge, and I mean, it wasn't the greatest. I got your Lassie joke, though. I definitely got it. Thought it was very funny. Not really sure why that one didn't land so much, but I mean, we even get like a pity laugh from Rue at the end. That and I was like, oh no, she's giving them the pity laugh. And then obviously we get to see Pit Crew Ben split you up into teams. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we hear from you that it's not the team that you wanted to be in. Was that very foreboding of what was to come, or what were your feelings at that point?
It was difficult, because obviously in the reading challenge, I was like, I still stand by, I had the best laughs, and you know, I don't know, I got more laughs than everybody else, but I think my what I said was funny. But so in that moment, I was like, oh, here we go. And then we got paired in the exact same groups that we were in for the acting challenge, and I was like, oh, here we go. This is the same thing that happened last time. These are the same groups. We're going to do the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
And I was like, thankfully, like, working with the girls this time was different to the first time. But in that moment, I was like, oh, damn, here we go again.
Let's just blame Ben. It's all Ben's fault. Now we get into the recording studio, and you have the tough job of going first, which, to be honest, is not the spot that you want to be in, because a lot of people forget just how much is going on around you. And then all of a sudden you're in front of Michelle, who can be like very, very honest sometimes. And I actually think you did an okay job for the person that went first. Like, did it feel shaky at the time, or was that kind of like something that came later? Or,
well, I remember hearing the track the first time. I turned to one of the girls that was sitting next to me, and I was like, I can't believe my whole career is led up to this goddamn song. and the song isn't like a fierce kind of, you know, like, it's not like Queens Down Under from the first two seasons. Yeah. It's not like Bosom Buddies from the second season. It's a very like camp song. So I walked
in. It's giving Wiggles.
Very that. And so then I went in and I was like, I'm gonna say it the way that I think it's meant to be. It's meant to be Wiggles. Yes. It's meant to be very like, very Play School, very Sesame Street. Yeah. And then Michelle was like, you're doing this very like, I don't know, I can't remember what she said, something like, it was very childlike. It was very like, whatever. And I was like, isn't that the song?
Isn't this the vibe?
So I think that's what shook me in that moment. And then I walked in with this idea of how I was going to do it. And then Michelle was like, nope, you need to like do all of this. And I was like, sure.
And obviously the thing I get from you is that, like, I kind of feel like if I ever, God forbid, went on Drag Race, I would be like you, because I'm a super prepared person and I have a lot of trouble like handing over control of things, and I like everything to I do to be very high quality. So if you had to throw me in a situation like that, I would have reacted the same. I would have been like, this is not what I've prepared for, and I just need 5 minutes just to like think about what I'm going to do. So I think the fact that you like pivoted and jumped on it really quickly, you actually did quite a good job. Back in the workroom, Bumper really does defend you when you're copping a bit of heat from the other girls, which I thought was nice, and kind of, you know, leads up to, you know, how things were at the end. And it must have been so tricky for you because you've got this person in the competition that, you know, like you said at the end, gave you, you know, some of your first gigs. Yet how do you tackle those feelings of that maybe like should they be the person that's going home? I could see how tricky it was for you to come to terms with those feelings, because you have to at some point go, well, what am I going to put forward, my friendship or my place in this competition, right?
Yeah, it was really difficult because obviously Bumper gave me my start. You know, she was a huge point in my career of turning from just being like a baby queen that's doing the odd thing here and there to somebody that like works consistently. And I was even the manager of her venue for a while.
Wow.
So like we worked together incredibly close in this time. And Isis has been someone that's been there since the start of my career too. So like being on this show with these two queens, but with Bumper specifically, you know, I always knew it was going to be a very interesting dynamic with her and I, because we've fought like cats and dogs and we've loved each other. And so walking into Drag Race together was a really interesting experience. And but it is hard because at the end of the day, you want to progress it and you want to go further and you don't want anyone else to take your place. Mm. But you've also got to remember, this is someone I've got to go home and work with.
And that's the thing. It's like you're thinking about your life outside of the show as well. You don't want to like tear down that relationship and then have to patch it up later. One thing I wanted to ask you, when you get on the main stage and you're rehearsing and then you do your routine, how heavy were those bikes?
They were so heavy. They were so, these like, and like, I was like, these are real. These are actual.
They BMX look bikes. Heavy, babe. They look heavy.
They are so heavy. And I'm a little Twinkie thing. I got little stick arms. Like, and they're like, oh, now you need to do this in a wig and high heels and a whole costume. Like,
yeah, nails and like all sorts of stuff going on. Crazy.
It was walking out there and seeing those bikes, I was like, you are joking.
I feel like sometimes when you're working with props, though, it can be a really great experience, but I could definitely see the faces drop when you all walk down into the stage. You're like, bikes, oh no.
Because we had some kind of idea, because obviously the song is BMX Bitches, so we had some idea, but we thought we were going to be Ariana Grande on some exercise bikes, like doing this whole thing. And then they're like, and then they were, when we walk out there, they're sitting in their stands, and we're like, okay, okay, sure. Like, they're not like the treadmills I thought we were going to be, like the exercise bikes.
But they'll stay still.
But, and then they're like, oh no, you got to pick them up and move them. And I was like, sorry?
Are you joking? You're like, excuse me? Yeah. Now, there was something I wanted to point out too, about something I noticed about you, which, I mean, your fans will know this, but other people watching the show might not, is that you were rocking some very impressive accessories this season, and they are your own from Miss Madison. You do 3D printed, is it? Like, or is it like laser cut earrings? And when I saw those, and then I went back and was looking at all of your runway looks, not only were you wearing them, but your accessories have been worn by queens all over the world. You've been providing ear bling and accessories for massive names in the drag queen industry.
Yeah, it's interesting because I thought that I'd talk about that more on the show, but obviously in the moment you don't really talk about it. I'm not even sure if we're allowed to talk about it on the show, but Miss Madison was a big turning part in my career, because that was during COVID when I started that, and I was like down a YouTube hole, and I was like, oh my god, 3D printing, and then I was like, oh, if I start 3D printing, then I can claim it on tax, and I was like, oh, I can make things for other people, and so I just started making things, and it just kind of grew and grew and grew, and so. The earrings were like on the first season, they were on Cameron from Finance and they were on Ketamine. And then in the second season, they were on like Molly Poppins, they're on Beverly Kills, they were on Mini Cooper. And they've been on like Olivia Lux, in the US and all of these different kinds of things. And so that was a huge part, of my career and building stuff. And even the girls, like there'll be other competitors, standing next to me on the stage, making things that I made for them. And even like, you know, because Down Under is so small, we have an idea of who the other queens are that are going to be cast, you know, and we chatted a little bit. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. We chatted a little bit prior to going on together. And I said to Amel and Ivory, I was like, whatever you want, whatever jewelry that you need for free, take it. Like, and anything that you want for any of your looks, because I don't want any of these girls, you know, to be like, oh, I don't know if I have the money for jewelry or whatever. I'm like, no, no. Here's a code. Here's a free code. Take whatever you want. We'll make anything for you. But yeah.
And I think that comment probably really sums up who you are as a person. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching you on Drag Race, and I just feel like this is, you know, a massive stepping stone for you. I'm so excited to see what you do next. Final thoughts on your Drag Race journey? Like, loved it, life-changing. Like, how could you explain it?
Absolutely life-changing. I absolutely adored it. Obviously a roller coaster of emotions, but at the end of the day, you know, I went on to make good TV. I think I made good TV, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
I think you made great TV, and I'm just loved watching you. I'm sad that I've spoken to you at this point, but, like, you know, well done. Such an incredible, incredible moment, and congratulations on your drag journey.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Another week, another episode, and joining me today is the one and only Tommy, drag queen extraordinaire, and they are here to unpack this week's episode with me. Nice to see you again.
So good to see you, Justin, and what an episode it was. This whole season's been twists and turns and trials and tribulations, and here we are, Ashley Madison's gone home.
I know, it's giving me, like, vertigo, the amount of twists and turns in this season, but I tell you what, one thing I said to Ashley was she gave us great TV, and that's what we want. And I feel like these days it's not about winning a show, it's about the mark that you make when you're on the show, right?
100%. She had so many iconic moments, and she's a businesswoman, because we've seen the merch come out already. We've got the Jesus crop tops. We've got the pasties from when, you know, she did the tit reveal.
Yep.
All she needs now is some sort of garment or device to pull her underwear up all the time or keep her dress from rolling down. She's good to go. Sold.
I mean, I did have a little giggle to myself in this episode when she came out in that beautiful fuchsia gown. And even though she had the pasties on, I was like, oh, girlfriend, it's still falling down again. I'm glad that you covered up your nipples with the pasties. But I'm like, but this is the thing I guess you have to understand is that, or people need to understand, is that a lot of the girls lose weight when they're on the show because they're just going a million miles an hour.
And when they left,
everything was like probably like sewn to an inch of their life, as you can relate. And then when they get there, they're probably like, you drop even the tiniest bit of water weight and your outfit's not going to fit properly.
I know. I mean, I've tried to put on stuff I had on 2 weeks ago and I'm not fitting into it, Justin. It's not good. Oh my gosh, it's an outfit on that I had just had made, and I'm like, shit, I don't fit into it. It's 100% the case. So be kind to the queens. You know, they've got a lot going on there.
Yeah.
All day when they're filming is enough to, you know, sometimes feel scared.
Now, I wanted to talk to you about the reading challenge. Are Aussie drag queens just not good at reading? Because the drag queens that I know are very quick, very witty, very sharp. I don't know what it is, but I feel like we've never really had an outstanding reading challenge. Maybe Aunt Simone, like, gave us some good ones, but I feel like it's something that rarely a lot of countries excel in. But I thought we would be great at it.
I know, it felt like they've never been to a library before with that reading challenge. But I think, look, it's the heat of the moment. I don't know how much time I have to prepare, but I'd say it's probably being on the spot. Drag queens are really good at coming up with things off the cuff and not being told that they have to act, right? It's just something they said in the heat of the moment. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge. When the cameras are turned on, you know, the brain turns off. But I don't know.
Get that printed on a t-shirt, Tommy.
Yeah, it's true though, right? And as you said, culmination of being on set for a while, it's halfway through the season, everyone's really sleep deprived and lots of Red Bull, and it's just not working for them. But look, I didn't laugh at all, if I'm honest.
I know. And Ashley did mention in my chat previously that she said she actually had some zingers. So I don't know if she was hinting that maybe they were edited out because it didn't fit with the narrative of what ended up happening in the episode. But that's all part and parcel of being part of a reality show, right? Is that not absolutely everything you say is going to make it to air.
Exactly. And you could see RuPaul's face at the end where it was kind of like, oh.
Well, that's what I said to Ashley. You got the pity laugh. You got the ha, 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 ha.
And the pit crew winning. I mean, I think it's the first time ever in Drag Race history that that's happened. But,
I know.
It is what it is. But yeah, I have plenty of reads for those queens. So you know what? You put me on the season, I'll be going in there guns blazing.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about this weird dynamic that's going on between Floor and Ashley and Bumper. And then at one point, some of the other girls kind of got roped into it. It's this weirdness of, I think Ashley had like a bit of an allegiance to Bumper, but then said Floor's name. And then some of the other girls were, I think it was our beautiful Gab was like poking a bit of fun at Floor and she did not take it the right way. I feel like this is a case of like, you know, people are getting a little bit stressed. There's a little bit going on in the show, and then you know maybe what they might have found funny previously they don't find funny anymore. What was your take on it?
Oh, exactly. And as RuPaul and Michelle denoted on the episode, I think they're a little bit scared to say Bumper's name. I think, you know, Floor is probably the easy target in this case. As soon as one, it's like a domino effect. One girl says one girl's name and they go, oh, well, if she said it, it's safety in numbers rather than saying something completely different.
Totally.
So I'm not surprised by that at all. I'd say I wouldn't want to cross Bumper in a dark alleyway anyway. So I would be saying her on the runway. Or maybe I would. I don't know. I'm not there, so I can't really comment. But I think safety in numbers is always is the key there. And no queen likes to be controversial in that moment because they're worried about what's going to happen next.
And also, too, I guess they just don't want the pile on. They don't want to get back to Untucked and be like, oh, God, now everyone's going to be asking me why I said that person's name. And you kind of see them doing a little bit of damage control by saying, Floor, like, I'm sorry I said your name. Like, that came out straight away, which I think maybe in the US and the UK seasons, the queens are probably, they maybe invite the drama a little bit more. But I think with our Aussie queens, they were kind of like, oh, I'm just going to say I'm sorry for saying your name straight up.
I think they also think about the ramifications post the season now. So they think, you know, I'm going to be touring with some of these queens. I want to be on their good side. You know, we're going to leverage each other's audiences. I don't want to piss them off because then I've shot myself in the foot. But you know what? This is a reality show. And I wish they just went for it a little bit more. I would have.
Just go for it. Now, did you have any other thoughts about the episode? How do you think it's going? Is it turning out the way that you thought that it would?
I'm really interested to see what happens next because we've seen this pattern of queens who have won a challenge and they go home. And it's interesting. So, you know, Hollywood won this week. What's going to happen next week? Is she going to be in the bottom?
Well, this is the thing. It's like you kind of like see them really excel, don't you? And then all of a sudden they have a week where they've got a challenge where they're not good at something and they just seem to fall down in pieces. And I guess that's the thing with, you know, you've got drag queens who go into it with a very methodical, calculated way and they probably try and spread themselves too thin as opposed to leaning on their strengths. But then you've got some queens who lean on their strengths, whether they might be funny or they might be a great seamstress, and then they just don't invest at all in their choreography or their sewing or whatever. So you get these like highs and lows. But I guess that's kind of what separates, you know, the good from the great. And I think probably a perfect example of that was Gabriella Labucci, who we love, going for that character when her voice was like broken. Because you can imagine some queens would have just been like, well, I'm going to go home. I'm done. Like, I can't sing. Had a meltdown, but she was like, nah, how do I sort this out? And I think that's probably like a sign of, a very creative drag queen. And I'm going to say, I absolutely feel like she has to be top three, in my opinion.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think it comes down to which queens can demonstrate that charisma. We talk about charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And really, charisma is at the start of that uniqueness and nerve that all kind of bunches into what Gabriella Labucci is doing. It's not actually about who has the best runway looks. And in fact, if we look at this season's track record, it doesn't look like the runways are having as much weight as the maxi challenges that we've seen in other seasons where, you know, they might be safe because they've done a great runway, but I've seen in this down under season, they've really isolated that maxi challenges being the determining factor for who's in the top and who's in the bottom.
You're absolutely right. I've just realized that. That's a really good point. They definitely are focusing more on the actual maxi challenge because, and I don't know if it's a case of the runways being I'm just going to be really honest, a little underwhelming at times, but there have definitely been some amazing moments and some amazing gowns. Like, I loved RuPaul calling Isis, did you call her a f***ing bitch? I thought that was just hilarious. Like, I screamed out loud. But, yeah, maybe it's a case of they're going, well, look, the runways aren't so much of a thing here, so, you know, let's focus more on the challenges. And that's a very interesting pickup. I had not really realized that till you said it.
Yeah. Well, look, with the runways, a lot of the queens outside of Isis, of course, don't make their own costume. So it's really about who invested the most money and who found the right seamstress. The outfit, like, I'm the first to admit I only made one costume in my entire, actually two costumes in my entire life. And I probably will not make one again for a while, unless I go on Drag Race, of course. But for me, it's always been about just finding the right designer, finding the right fabrics, the right silhouette for your body. But that's as far as it goes for a lot of the queens, right?
True.
Including some of the of Drag Race.
Look, listen, always great to chat to you. Love unpacking this show with you and getting your expert opinion. You're uncovering all of the diamonds in the rough for us when it comes to thinking about Drag Race. Now, what can we see on your catch up with Ashley Madison this week?
We're going to be talking all things business. Ashley has a business mindset. We're going to talk all about Ashley's tone deaf in the singing challenge. Don't think she really liked me asking. And I'll be coming out on Monday and onwards on all of Stan's socials.
Yes. And we can catch you on social media. What are your social platform handles?
Platforms Instagram at tommy.dragqueen. And over on the TikTok, it's at tommy.queen.
Awesome. So good to have you on. Thank you for chatting with me again. And we will see you very, very soon. Well, that's it for another week. Tune in again next Monday as I'll be joined by some of my favorite people and fellow Drag Race Down Under lovers. Plus, as always, I'll be unpacking the episode with the Eliminated Queen. Catch RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under exclusively on Stan every Friday. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on the Listener app so you don't miss a minute of the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, or talent. I'm Justin Hill, and I'll see you next Monday with our sixth Eliminated Queen. Until then, look over there.